You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Set those alarm clocks, an early start on Saturday morning. Good racing to look forward to as well. It's Betfair Chase Day at Haydock. We've also got good racing at Ascot, including a couple of Grade 2s on their card. We've got jumping at Huntingdon as well. All weather racing on the Poly Track at Linkfield in the afternoon. And all weather racing on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Looking forward to what is a pretty special Saturday.
Yeah, some great stuff tomorrow. So I'm regretting telling my wife that I'm taking the day off to have lunch with her. Yeah. Divorce proceedings could be taking place in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, it'd be worth it anyway. For
Exactly. <yeah.
laughs> I've never met your wife. I don't know if it is, but anyway.
Moving on.
Yeah, swiftly. Let's move on from that. We've had the first day at both Haydock and Ascot of their two-day meetings. Anything we've learned from the first day, apart from how testing it's going to be at Haydock?
Yeah, the ground at Haydock is very testing. They're splashing up plenty of water, but the jockeys are saying they are getting through it. So the worry is that if there's no more rain overnight, it's going to be very gluey and sticky for Saturday's racing. So I think you're really going to need stamina.
Yes, something that likes probably heavy ground and something that stays probably a little bit further might be the order of the day on Saturday at Haydock. Just want to get your thoughts on one of the performances as well from Friday. Different gravy in the beginner's chase at Ascot. Looked pretty impressive in the end. He's in a few quotes knocking about for the JLT at the festival and such. I think we're going 14-1 for him for the JLT novices chase. I'll just double check that as I speak. Yeah, 14-1 in the market.
We're only in mid-November and already Nicky Henderson's got a couple of quality novice chasers. He had 007 win first time out at Cheltenham the other day, and now Different Gravy, who did look just that and jumped extremely well. For a breath, it looked as though brother Ted might get away from him on the front end, but yeah, he's kept on really strongly and looks a horse with a future. So yeah, JLT or even cut back and trip for the Arkle possibly.
Yeah, maybe so. We've still got to see Altior come out over the fences as well, haven't we, from Nicky Henderson's yard. He's got some real nice novice chases at the moment. Anything else stand out to you on the Friday before we get stuck into the Saturday?
No, not a great deal as of yet.
Well, let's move on to Saturday then. Plenty to get stuck into, plenty to talk about. And we're going to look at the four big races on the day, two from each of Haydock and Ascot. We'll get Andrew's thoughts on those races next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in time order, so we'll be moving between Ascot and Haydock throughout. The first race that we look at is the 2:05 at Ascot, which is the Stella Artois 1965 chase, a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Betting out on the site already at this point, it's 5-2 for God's Own at the top of the market. Dodging Bullets 11-4, 6-1 Vibrato Valtat, Calmore Lock is 7-1, 15-2 Third Intention, Edward is 8-1, and Royal Regatta is the 10-1 outsider. Form from Aintree looks quite important here. God's Own finished behind Third Intention in the Old Roan Chase, but God's Own was a bit unlucky in the race there, and it looks like a few people have picked up on that already.
That's right. God's Own was hampered, and of course he does seem much better right-handed. He jumped out to his right that day at the first fence and at one or two others as well. And you look at his record when going right-handed, 5 wins from 14 starts, and the return to this direction will suit him. Indeed, 6 of his last 7 wins have come right-handed. And although he is effective the other way round, I think he'll be happier at Ascot than he was at Aintree last time. And I think he'll reverse the form with the winner that day, Third Intention. Although I do think he might have to play second fiddle here to another runner, which is Kyle Moore Loff for Kerry Lee. This one really impressed me last term. Very progressive. The 7-year-old was beaten on his chase debut and comeback at Eutoxeter in October, going down by 22 lengths that day. But on good ground and in need of the experience, you know, you can forgive that. And of course, he was unbeaten in his subsequent five starts, culminating in a Grade 1 win at Fairy House in March on yielding ground. Now, his other wins came on soft ground twice and heavy ground twice. So he'll relish the soft conditions that are prevailing at Ascot at the moment. And I think getting £4 from God's Own, I wouldn't be surprised to see Carmore Loff, you know, be the value in this race and cause something of a minor upset.
Yeah, it's currently 7-1 in the market at the time of recording this. Was obviously a very useful novice last year. That race that you mentioned at Fairy House beat Outlander there, didn't he? So that's pretty good form.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excited to see him this year.
And although he was beaten first time out last season, he has gone well fresh before. He was a 33-1 winner at Warwick in the maiden hurdle on his comeback in the 2014-2015 season. So don't let the lack of a recent run put you off too much. Mm. But it's good to see this race competitive in betting terms, because last year we had 5-2 on shot Votor winning, and the year before 5-1 on Alpha Off. So, but it's, yeah, it's been a really good race in previous years. Masterminded won it twice, Alberta's Run, Captain Chris. So yeah, hopefully Carmore Loff can live up to those big names.
Moving over to Haydock next for the 225. This is the Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle, a Grade 3 over 2 miles and 6 and a bit furlongs, nearly 2 miles 7. We'll call it the extended 2 miles 6 furlongs. Big field here. We've got betting out for this as well. Two taps, 4-1 at the top of the market. You know what I mean, Harry. 7-1. It's 7-1 as well for Cadabalay and Yala Enki. 8-1 Western Warrior. Point the way is 12s with Affair d'Honneur and 14-1. Or bigger prices for the others, so I suppose we should start with two toughs. Won his last two outings, pretty easy winner last time, but this is tougher, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is typically competitive. Again, we've had some good sorts winning this race in the past. Diamond Harry won it in 2009 for Nick Williams, Grand Cruz, Dynast, Orbison. So shame Nick Williams hasn't got a runner again, because he does particularly well in this. But I'm not so sure about two toughs for me here. You know, he was a short price when winning at Carlisle last time, 7-2 on. And, you know, this is going to be a much sterner test, and I'd rather look for something at a bigger price here. And the one that really caught my eye was number 3, Yala Enki, for the informed Venetia Williams yard. Now, this one actually ran in the race last year, and though only a 26-length fifth, I think that can be forgiven, because the front runners went off at 1,000,000 miles an hour last year. The winner, Baradari, was held up. The third came from off the pace, as did the fourth. Now, every horse in that race who chased the strong early pace came out and won or went very close next time. Runner-up, definitely Red. The sixth home closing ceremony. T for Two was seventh in that race, went 4-1 favourite for the Nick Williams yard. And, of course, went on to win in Grade 1 company at Kempton. Now, Yala Enki was, say, fifth that day, came out and won next time out at Kempton. And I think the key to this one is freshness as well. The run in this race last year came second time out after a break of just 18 days, having won by 16 lengths at Exeter on his reappearance. And I like the fact that Venetia Williams has sent this one straight to the race this year without a prep run. And he's only had 3 runs when rested for at least 6 weeks since arriving in Britain from France. Second by a head at Utoxeter on his British debut, and then 2 wide margin wins. So expect to see Yala Enki go really well here, first time out with conditions to suit.
Yala Enki then the selection for Andrew in the 225 at Haydock. On to the 240 at Ascot next. This is what used to be the Ascot Hurdle, a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got 5 of them in the lineup here. The betting headed by Yanworth at the time of recording this at even money. Zarkander 100-30, 11-2 Garde la Victoire. Lil Rockefeller is 13-2, 11-1 for Court Minstrel. We start with Yanworth, obviously a very good novice last season. Spoke to Swantony McCoy earlier on in the day as well. He likes the chances of Yanworth here. Are you in the same boat?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of the horse, despite taking him on at the Cheltenham Festival, because Alan King's got a terrible record in hurdle races at the Cheltenham Festival. So I took him on with York Hill for the Willie Mullins yard, who managed to beat Yanworth by a little under 2 lengths, the pair pulling 7 lengths clear of the remainder. This one just rarely runs a bad race. You look at his form now, it's 6 wins from 9 starts, a second and fourth at the Cheltenham Festival, and a second here at Ascot in a listed bumper. And this is a race that's often gone to those towards the head of the market. In the last 10 years, no winner's been bigger than 100-30. So that is another good pointer to Yanworth, and I'd expect him to be a bit hard to beat here. So Zorkander was unlucky to unseat on his comeback, but certainly looked as though he retained his old zest and could go well. Last year's second Court Minstrel will probably find the ground too quick. So I think if you're looking for one for the forecast or an each-way alternative, perhaps go with number one, Lil Rockefeller, who perhaps found the three-mile trip too far when third at Wetherby on his comeback.
But is Yanworth a selection?
Yanworth's selection, a Lil Rockefeller for the forecast.
Okay, good stuff. You can watch Sir Anthony McCoy's thoughts on the William Hill website. Go to the horse racing page. You'll see his videos on the right-hand side there. You can also find them on Twitter, at Will Hill Bet, if you want to watch those. He did mention that Barry Geraghty had been riding Yanworth in work and was very happy with what had happened. So do have a look at those. We're going to move on to the 3 o'clock at Haydock next, the big race of the day, the Betfair Chase, a grade one over 3 miles. It's the first leg of the Jockey Club Triple Crown. It's a race that was won by Q Card last year, and in fact 2 years ago. So Vignaco Conti's won it twice in the last 4 years as well. Market headed by Q Card at 13-8. Coney Gree coming back is 2-1, 13-2 for See You at Midnight, 7-1 Sir Vignaco Conti, 10-1 Irish Cavalier, 20-1 Menora, and Vezele is the 50-1 outsider of this field. Really looking forward to seeing how Q Card gets on after his run at Wetherby, where tactics probably weren't quite right, and he should come on for that run as well. And really interested to see how Coney Gree gets on his return. So real good race to look forward to.
Yeah, this is an incredible contest. As you say, Q Card was only third this year in the Charlie Hall Chase at Wetherby, a race he'd won 12 months earlier. Perhaps the ground was quick enough for him that day, officially good. He'd won the same race on soft ground last year. And then because he beat Sir Vignaco Conti by 7 lengths in this race shortly afterwards, again on soft ground. He has disappointed in this race previously, only fourth to Sir Vignaco Conti in 2014. And he is a 10-year-old now. So there's just a chance that maybe he's not going to show any improvement and might be have to play second fiddle to younger legs. And that certainly brings in Coney Gree, who's had 9 runs over hurdles and fences, winning 8 of them. And, only had one run last season, though, winning on reappearance at Sandown before injury struck. And it's a case of how's he going to be after the break? But he has defied a similarly long absence in the past. And he was missing from January 2013 to November 2014, when winning at Newbury on his comeback a couple of seasons ago. And he's likely to be near the head of affairs, which is a good tactic at Haydock, generally speaking. It's the pace is going to be interesting. Who's going to make the running here? Because Coney Gree likes to make the running. Q Card often races up with the pace. See You at Midnight, a winner at Carlisle on his comeback, will love the ground and also likes to race prominently, as does Sir Vignaco Conti. So all that being said, I think I'm going to go with one at an absolutely massive price here and take a chance at about 50-1 on the French raider Vezele. Now, this one ran over hurdles last time at Auteuil, finishing second by 2 lengths to a horse called Solway. Solway was a big price that day, 27-1 on the French tote, but ran in grade one company next time and found only Alex de la Rada too good in the Prix d'Automne at Auteuil, a race in which Rev de Sivola was seventh. Now, he's back over fences here. He'll love the ground. Felix de Giles knows him well and takes the ride again. And I just thought he can be given a stalking ride behind what should be a strong pace. And perhaps he could cause a bit of a surprise. And I still think the French Raiders are undervalued and overpriced when they come over here, whether it's on the flat or over jumps. And we could see a shock here.
Yeah, it could be quite a shock. 50-1 in the market at the moment. Vezele, that's the selection for Andrew there, then, in the Betfair Chase.
You're in shock, aren't you? Speechless now.
Don't know quite what to say. What do you think the tactics will be with Q-Card? Obviously, we've talked about Coney Gree likes to be ridden prominent. See You at Midnight does. Sir Vignaco Conti. Do you reckon they'll try and hold Q-Card back a little bit in this race this time?
I think they will. I think Coney Gree is probably going to make it, closely followed by See You at Midnight. I'm just hoping that the market principles will be keeping an eye on each other all the time, and perhaps something could come over the top and do them all. Mm. I mean, Irish Cavaliers, interesting, having won the Charlie Hall, but that was on good ground. And whether he's going to get home over 3 miles on what will probably be very, very stamina-sapping conditions tomorrow is debatable. But, yeah, I just think there could be a bit of a surprise in this race. I mean, yeah, going back a few years, we had Snoopy Loopy winning this at 33-1. So that's the kind of upset I'm hoping for with French Raider Vézelay.
All right, good stuff. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary then before you go, as usual, Andrew, if you'll just confirm your selections then for us for Saturday.
Yes, indeed. In the 2.05 at Ascot, I'm going with Kyle Moore-Loff for Kerry Lee. Then the 2.25 at Haydock, the fixed brush hurdle. I'm very keen here on Yalarenki for the informed Venetia Williams. Then we're off to Ascot again for the 2.40. I'm playing it safe and going with the favourite Yanworth with Lil Rockefeller to chase that one home. And then I'm going for glory in the big race, the 3 o'clock at Haydock, and hoping that Vézelay can cause a huge upset for the French.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you, Mark.
Enjoy it. And yeah, it's a good day on Saturday. So try and enjoy what you can around the dinner with your missus.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to have a sneaky look at my phone every now and again, see what's happening.
Thank you, Andrew. There you go. That's the thoughts of Andrew Mounts on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Gareth Topham, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. Real good racing to look forward to. Good cards at Haydock and Ascot. Huntingdon over the obstacles as well. And all-weather action at Lingfield in the afternoon. And we finish off with all-weather action at Wolverhampton throughout the evening as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.